chicken cacciatore and
it was good
food. Good food and individually prepared helpings and very helpful and attentive staff. It was very hands-on service. But when Willem said, I'd love to try out steak, and I'd like to get some meat as well as pasta.
You know, it didn't happen that way, Steve.
No, but we're taking it in a shortened version. It's not a one
politically correct.
It's also not a one-hour show devoted to the peculiarities of Willem Backus's eating habits. So
it was not that.
And so
they just didn't have any guy food. They had three hen parties converging on this hotel, okay?
Hen parties.
It was like the perfect storm.
Well, actually, the poultry producers are meeting in Montreal this week, but different hen party. Okay, continue. Yes,
three hen parties, okay? We had the quilters. We had the do-gooders who basically imported these Cambodian kids that they had as, foster kids. I figured that was a great idea, right? Import these kids for 2 weeks, you know, show them how great we have it here and send them back to Cambodia to starve. I figure send them the $1.22 so they can go to school for a month, or at least that's what it lists on the back of the UNICEF box, right?
Or they can eat for a year.
Anyway, basically they closed down the kitchen. All they had was what amounted to chick food. Everything was chick food. And I'm thinking, okay, do you have
what
any
is chick food exactly?
Food that basically caters strictly to women. You know, men don't eat that kind
salads
of food.
Salads and pastas.
Salads and pastas and red wine.
Any finger cheeses. Food like oh, Jesus.
Crackers?
That's cute.
Yes, cheese and cracker. That's what, no, but
was it caviar? Or like at least imitation caviar?
No, it was basically a lot of red wine and cheese. I mean, the food was good, but there was no guy food there. Nothing that men would eat, or at least, you know. Not.
Real man like Willem Backus.
So I asked him to make a steak, and the chef came out with a big smile on his face. You got it. He was happy. That was the best steak he cooked all week.
That's the type of accommodation that you need when you visit a major hotel, restaurant, that they will cater to the individual. It's chain uniformity. They will get a little part away from what is written in the policy manual.
Also, which is one of the fun things whenever we go on these trips, is we actually ran into a couple from England, and this is one of these other things that were staying at the DoubleTree in Lowell, of all places, Lowell. They were on what amounted to a North American tour.
They had arrived in Montreal, and they had done the Thousand Islands, Toronto, Niagara Falls, come through the Erie Canal and Albany into Lowell, visiting Boston, on to New York. They were doing like 12, 14-day tour, escorted motor coach, and loving every bit of it. And they thought that the hospitality exhibited by Americans and Canadians was top-notch. They were very pleased with how warm and welcoming everyone in all of those cities was to them. So is the essence of tourism and building relationships and people visiting and learning more about different countries, different areas. And we headed down afterwards talking about something a little bit different when you're down in the north of Boston area. Gary's Ice Cream, Saturday night sock hop between Memorial Day and Labor Day weekend, down in Chelmsford, just south of Lowell on Highway 3A. And this is like bringing back a touch of the 50s and 60s to your life. Ice Cream, your favorites of the 50s. 60s and 70s, played by a longtime New England radio veteran, Gary Francis, who owns the ice cream stand, had it for over 20 years, lives right next door. You've got pine trees and picnic tables. He's got a mobile studio.
I mean, think about it. What could be more all-American, all families, than going down to a neon-lit-up ice cream stand where they're playing sock hop-style music, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s dance party kind of thing, and people bringing in their antique and classic cars.
Oh, yeah.
And a guy going around taking pictures, and it's on the internet every week, whatever the latest pictures were. They interviewed us on that show. But, I mean, talk about great time. People brought their families, their kids. Everybody was having a blast.
People come out every week. There are regulars there who spend the full 3 hours, 7 to 10 p.m. Saturdays at Gary's Ice Cream. And you can check them out on the internet, garysicecream.com, or at sockhop.net, where you have the pictures of the all the sock hops for this complete season. And
sockhop.net, S-O-C-K-H-O-P.
Yes.
Because some people spell sock hop without the K. But whatever. No, seriously, I've seen it, S-O-C-H-O-P, but Gary spells it soccer.
With the K, the traditional way of doing things. And family travel was one of the essences of my trip 2 weeks ago to Ottawa, where we stayed at the Welcome Inn, which is on the outskirts of the city, out Saint-Laurent Boulevard and Highway 417, opposite the Saint-Laurent Shopping Center. So convenient highway access for people coming in by car. It's also the hotel of record for Via Rail Canada, their cruise overnighting in Ottawa, which is a good recommendation. Continental breakfast is included.
You have
the It's always a good start of the day. It was family friendly. It wasn't a convention hotel where you sometimes feel that you're going to be lost in the shuffle. Welcome in, WELCOMINN at 1-800-387-4381 in Ottawa, Canada's capital. Went down the street, just down Saint Laurent Boulevard, to what used to be known as the Museum of Science and Technology. They now call it the Canada Science and Technology Museum, because with national in there, people didn't know which nation it was. So for the some of the stupid people, they had to rename it the Canada Science and Technology Museum tell them which country. But very interesting exhibits. You always go to a museum as a child, and you don't necessarily appreciate those exhibits until you're an adult. You come back because you've done extra reading and watched extra television programs and things on the internet. You've got varied interests. What was very interesting was that they had the first microphone used by XWA, December 1919, the first radio station in the world, Marconi, the Canadian Marconi Company, from their studios on William Street in Montreal, broadcasting out of up to Ottawa. It was 500 watts at the time, and because there was no other interference, a 500-watt station could traverse those 120 miles and heard perfectly at the Chateau Laurier Hotel in Ottawa. So
that's right.
Interesting
it was
to look
at Progressive Conservative Convention. I remember.
Yes, and you had your
Not
press
kit. Not that I was there. Yes, I read my press kit.
Or it was a Second Life, I don't know.
And I heard that Wally Crowder from CFRB was the senior correspondent.
No, I heard it was Vic Phillips, but what was interesting was it showed the evolution of radio and television and communications.
Yeah.
There was also the Rogers Batteryless Radio, Ted Rogers Sr., many people know his son, Ted Rogers Jr., big Canadian media mogul, but Ted Rogers Sr., the first batteryless radio, didn't have to plug it into the wall. You had
beautiful.
Great invention, a Canadian invention. So kids love us well.
Canada.
Look at that. And
well, Marconi's first transmissions to North America were to Canada, Newfoundland,
Signal Hill.
And why Newfoundland? Out of all places,
physically close.
Okay,
it was just a matter to shorten the distance, and then of course Fessenden's broadcasting inventions as well.
Yes.
Go down in history, and there's a whole lot of information on the internet. I think it's rcc.ryerson.ca.
Or if you're a student, just take History of Broadcasting.
History of Broadcasting.
Take that course.
You'll learn it.
And you did?
Yeah.
It's major element.
So you already know all this stuff.
Yeah, I do.
You wrote a paper.
It's cool, though. I forgot it. I took it 2 years ago.
But that's why you go back to a museum.
I did my exam. I did it. I'm done. I'm cut off the
remember. Go back to the Canada Science and Technology Museum in Ottawa, and you'll learn all about it again. Steam engines. The kids love them. And a lot of hands-on exhibits about computers and wildlife.
A lot of fun.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about Australia with Lloyd Robertson, and later Steamboat Springs, Colorado with Cynthia Fodor. Stay listening to Travel World Radio Show across America on the Voice of Truth and Broadcasting, the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Take it away, you are.
Wow. Every time you call my name, Liberty Works Radio Network.
Travel World Radio Show. Fire. Never in history has it been more important to know and understand the law, especially if you're in business. But while you may know all there is to know about widgets, you're no lawyer, which is why savvy businessmen and women are turning to ACS, American Contracting Services. And the reason? We understand the law. ACS writes and implements employee contracts with full knowledge of and compliance with the tax statutes and regulations in force in all 50 states. Payroll administration is one of the most costly and time-consuming hassles. Just keeping up with annual changes can be a full-time job. Make this the day you unencumber your business and discover the many benefits of employee contracting. Call American Contracting Services at 801-741-8356 or see them on the web at www.americancontracting.com. If writing just one check per pay period appeals to you, call ACS today at 801-741-8356. American
Mr. Robertson is ready to go.
Making business simpler. 801-741-8356.
Can you turn off your the volume on, cue up your music. I can
it
barely
like
hear that. I have my,
just,
you know, had it queued up the whole way.
Really?
If you win or lose, try your
all right, we'll turn out, we'll turn up our
life,
output a bit.
My whole attitude.
Well, I wanted one thing. I wanted to be an athlete. Special Olympics gave me that opportunity.
I just feel a little proud of myself to reach so far.
My family is big. It spreads around this world through Special Olympics.
Hey, if I can train for 15 weeks for a marathon, I can do just about anything.
I'm happy. I'm wonderful. And I think that's great.
Special Olympics inspires greatness in everyone it touches. There are many children and adults with mental retardation right here in this community who can benefit from year-round sports training and competition, but they need your help. Inspire greatness. Support your local Special Olympics program.
Marion Ross with an important message about memory loss.
Playing the role of a person with Alzheimer's made me realize how little we know about memory loss. If you're having memory problems, you may be able to help us by taking part in a memory impairment investigational study, looking at ways to delay the onset or slow the progression of Alzheimer's. It may not give us all the answers, but it can give us hope.
Participants need to be between the ages of 55 and 90, have a clear memory problem, but still be able to function in daily life, and have a friend or loved one who can serve as a companion throughout the study. For more information, call 1-888-455-0655 or visit our website at www.memorystudy.org. That's 1-888-455-0655 or www.memorystudy.org.
We all have a part to play in ending memory loss.
Are your debts threatening your peace of mind? Here are the danger signs if you borrow from one credit card to pay off another. If you're maxed out on two or more cards. If you can only afford to make the minimum monthly payment. But now there's a nonprofit organization that can help you reduce your debt load and get caught up again. It's called AmeriDebt. Call them at 1-800-842-7900. AmeriDebt can help you reduce your monthly payments as much as 50%. They'll negotiate with your creditors for you, eliminating or reducing your interest rates. And they'll consolidate your bills into one lower monthly payment, even if you're not a homeowner, even if you're way behind. AmeriDebt can help. If you have more than $2,000 in debt, call AmeriDebt now for a free debt consultation. 1-800-842-7900. It's a completely confidential service, and there's no obligation. So if you've noticed the debt danger signs, call AmeriDebt now. Not available in all states. That's AmeriDebt. 1-800-842-7900.
Ah, yes. The Hellraisers are back in town. It's Willem Baggis and Stephen Pickford. Oh, that was an abrupt mix. You know what?
Sorry.
Great. Nice going.
Almost raising hell.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we went down to Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, raised a little hell in the karaoke bars, and had a great deal of fun. We have a very special guest with us online.
Lloyd Robertson is the chief news anchor and senior news editor, CTV National News out of Toronto, Ontario. Been there for going on 24 years this October, and a veteran Canadian broadcaster back from Australia reporting today on some of the different things we can expect to see this Olympics year. Good morning, Lloyd.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to talk to you.
Glad you could join us. Now, you've been in Australia. How long did you spend in Australia in the past couple of months?
Well, I was there for 25 days from middle of April until about the end of May. And you may have noticed yesterday, we were running this on our newscast last night, that there is snow near Sydney right now. And this is a huge shock, of course, to the Australians and one would think to the Olympians who are preparing to go down there. It's very rare to have snow in Sydney. They're having a bad winter there. Remember, it is their winter there because the seasons are flipped.
Right.
So the reason the Olympics were chosen for September is because usually September is a beautiful spring month before you get into the hot weather of November and December. So right now everybody has their fingers crossed down there that the snow is going to disappear very, very quickly. But yes, I was there for about 25 days, and we did 13 pieces for the newscast in 25 days of about 3 minutes each, covering portions of the country, mostly on the east side, Melbourne, Sydney, Alice Springs, the Great Barrier Reef up at Cairns, and into the outback.
Did they blame the cold weather on cold air from Canada like the Americans always do?
Well, of course, everybody blames Canada for the cold air, you know that.
Well, Canada's always blamed for something. So, yeah, it has been a record record cold snap. I've been reading an article here, high temperature this week at 10 Celsius and ranging 8 to 20 Celsius, rain developing. So have to keep the fingers crossed on how the weather will turn
indeed,
out.
Indeed. And, of course, this is a terrible humiliation for Australians because one thing they do keep telling you when you're down there is, you know, you should move down here, live here, because it's temperate all the time. And indeed, it is temperate most of the time. When we were there in May and in April, it was, the high was about 20 and the low was about 15, and they were coming into their fall and winter season. Now, we get 20 and 15 here in Toronto, and we think that's a nice summer day.
That's true.
The impression you get of Australia is sunshine and that moderate temperature that although out in the desert regions, of course, it gets very hot, and you get that's why the next Survivor series, Survivor 2, will be Australia.
Really?
That's right. And I was out into the outback. We did a story on camels. Now, naturally, you don't think of camels when you think of Australia. You think of kangaroos, wallabies, koalas, that kind of thing. But the story on camels is interesting because we came upon it quite by accident. We didn't expect to find a camel farm in Australia, but indeed, when we got there, we discovered that there was a camel farm. So we did a little research into this and discovered that camels, in fact, were the beasts of burden in Australia in the early years because horses simply couldn't do the job. So after their work was done, the camels were released into that huge outback that is such a large portion of Australia, and they bred, of course, and now the government has allowed farmers to block off plots of land to have camel farms. And they raise the camels, they raise them for exports, they raise them for camel farms, children's rides, that kind of thing. And you can also eat camel meat. So there they are, the camels in the outback, and I was up on one, a little scary, but in the end a lot of fun.
How does a camel ride? When you get up on top of a camel, what does the feel when you're above? Do you think you're going to fall off at any moment?
Well,
or?
Well, actually, it's very comfortable once you're up there, but it's the getting up there, and actually it's the getting down off the camel that's interesting, because when you... the camel, of course, comes down on his haunches, and you climb up on the hump, and you get your position comfortably on the hump, and then he stands up. Well, those big, long legs, back and front, go up. And you think you're going up forever, and it's a bit rocky when you're going up. But once you're there, it's quite comfortable. And it's not unlike riding a horse once you're up there. But you are pretty far off the ground. So if you are woozy about heights, my advice would be don't go riding on a camel. But it is, as I say, very much like a horse. The other thing about Australia, and people forget about this, but it is a huge country. In terms of land mass, it's three-quarters the size of Canada, and its population, like Canada's, is centered in specific areas. In Australia's case, around the coast. It's 19 million people, and the major centers are, for the most part, around the coast. The outback, that huge desert of such legend, takes up the center of the country, and it's a very interesting place, but it's great to visit. I wouldn't want to live there, of course, but that's where you see your Crocodile Dundees. That's where the characters are. That's where the guys go to live who want to live a different kind of life and just get away from it all.
Yeah, that would
and,
be the way.
There's also another feature of the outback that I want to mention to you. If you're ever down there and you're driving in the outback, watch for the road trains, they call them, road trains. Now, these are two or three huge tractor trailers latched together. And they tear down those highways, most of them two-lane roads, across the outback, going, you know, 160K.
Holy cow.
You, you 160. Better not be in their way because they don't stop for anything.
It's like Mad Max for real. Holy
Mad Max for real. You've got it.
That seems to be the area where the characters congregate, because you're away from civilization. They can live the life as they want to in amongst all the elements, and I guess...
Well, that's right, and there are characteristics of Australians that are kind of basic to the outback, too, and you even see that in the larger cities. Like, people do pay attention to political correctness down there, but they tend to snigger at it. They tend to wink about it, you know. They call themselves blokes and sheilas in the outback, especially. And the blokes are the guys, and the sheilas are the girls. And we talked to a fellow who lives in Sydney. We did a little story on a family in Sydney about how he was coping with political correctness in the new Australia. And he said, well, you know, mate, I do the dishes and I do the laundry and I clean up around the house. I help my wife because she works all day, too. But I tell you, my mates, they laugh at me. They would never, ever, ever go along with this in a million years, because most of my mates, they want to come home. They want to have their dinner. They want to watch their footy, that is, their football on TV.
Yes.
And they just want to relax and have a beer when they come home. They don't want to be bothered with housework.
Agreed.
So, as I say, political correctness is arriving there. In fact, it is there. But the Australians tend to wink at it, and they have this wonderful expression, which you hear all over the place all the time, and that is, when the going gets a little rough and the pressure gets on, they'll say, no worry, mate. No worry, mate.
That's good.
Yeah, I guess it's a gator. Being out in the middle of the ocean, an isolated nation like that, it creates a uniqueness.
It is. And, you know, there are some interesting things that happen in Australia related to that, because they are just far enough away from the North American continent that you do have programs like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Now, we have Who Wants to Be a Millionaire here in Canada, and we carry Regis and the show, and CTV, our network, buys the Canadian rights to that show. Down there, they have Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with an Australian host, same format that was developed, I believe, in Britain and then was brought to America. They have somebody who is the Regis Philbin of Australia. But the funny thing about this, I heard a radio show one morning. It was one of the talk morning shows. And the host of the Australian show was talking about the American show and how it was basically the same as what they see in Australia. And then he said, and they have this fellow up there called Reginald Philpott. He's the host.
That's good. Reginald Philpott.
As I say, they're just far enough away that they get it, but they do their own thing.
It's a melting pot as well, because you've got the halfway between North American, you've got the North American, the European influence, as well as the Asian influence. There have been a number of Asian communities springing up in Australia as well, coming in from Vietnam and Cambodia, relocating over the past years, refugees. So it,
yes, that's right. You'll find the Asian communities in large measure on the west side, around Perth and up the west coast, Darwin, that area. But for a long, long time, there was the White Australia policy that was in effect. In fact, that wasn't lifted until the late 50s, early 60s. And the idea of the White Australia policy was exactly that. Nobody but whites were allowed in. Now, you know, there was a way of getting around it so that they could be not be accused of discriminating, because there was a euphemistic clause in a policy which said, yes, you can apply, but of course there were also sorts of conditions put on, and if you were anything other than white, you just didn't get in. Well, that all changed in the early 60s, and now it is becoming much more of a melting pot than it was before.
Lloyd, hold that thought. We do a story on a
movie called Wug Boy.
We have to take a break. Lloyd?
Could you hold that thought, Lloyd? And we have to take a news break here, and we'll be right back with more on Australia with Lloyd Robertson. Take it away.
Across America via satellite.
You guys are insane.
Travel World will continue.
Travel World Radio Show. Across America via satellite.
Liberty Works Network News. I'm Mark Allen. The Vatican has condemned the Clinton administration's decision to permit so-called stem cell research as anti-life, claiming fully fertilized eggs used by scientists to conduct experiments would, if allowed, mature naturally into human beings. WorldNet Daily on the Internet reports a statement issued yesterday from the Vatican's Pontifical Academy for Life said the Clinton administration's new guidelines were, quote, gravely immoral, and that the good intention behind them, quote, doesn't make good an action that is in itself bad. Republican vice presidential hopeful Dick Cheney has raised the possibility some of the new national monuments created by President Clinton could be reviewed and possibly rescinded after the election. Many fear that creating monument after monument could harm the Western economy, removing land from commercial uses like grazing, logging, and mining. CapitolHillBlue.com on the Internet says during his time in office, Clinton has created or added to 10 national monuments, covering nearly 4 million Western acres, in his effort to carve out an environmental legacy. Dozens of wildfires have kept firefighters scrambling across the western states. Officials say dry, blustery weather conditions appear likely to fan the flames for weeks to come. The National Fire Information Center in Boise says there are 78 large wildfires currently burning, covering a total of 1.4 million acres in the west, and there has been no rain for relief. This year's fire season is shaping up to be the worst in 50 years. Thus far, with weeks to go before the season ends, a total of 5.8 million acres have been scorched. That's the news on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
There's enough to worry about when it comes to your kids. That's why so many moms drive Ford Windstars, the only minivan with the government's quadruple five-star crash test rating. With features like a reverse sensing system, a rear seat entertainment center, dual sliding doors, and $1,500 cash back or zero non-financing, buying a minivan becomes one less thing to worry about. Ford Windstar, the family limo of choice. See your quality Ford dealer for details.
Save a Patriot Fellowship wants you to be aware of the following fact. According to the federal tax law, the legal authority for an Internal Revenue Service agent to levy against property for an alleged tax liability is limited to government employees, elected officials, and officers of government corporations. Visit the fellowship website at www.save-a-patriot.org or call 410-857-4441 or write to SAP, P.O. Box 91, Westminster, Maryland, 21158. For more information.
If you gave away 80 cents today, would it make a difference? It would if you gave it to a child in Latin America or Africa, where 80 cents a day can mean life itself for an innocent girl or boy. Isn't that reason enough to become a Christian Children's Fund sponsor? Call 1-800-718-1313 and see how much 80 cents a day can provide for a needy child. Food, clothing, school books, proper medical care, whatever is needed most. As a Christian Children's Fund sponsor, you can extend a lifeline to a needy girl or boy.
30.
Please call now, 1-800-718-1313. Within 10 days, you'll receive a life story and a photo of a child who needs your help. There's no obligation, simply a chance to give a gift of healing and hope. All it takes to become a Christian Children's
15.
Fund sponsor is 80 cents a day and a place in your heart for a child who needs you. You can make a difference. So please call Christian Children's Fund now, 1-800-718-1313. That's 1-800-718-1313.
I don't want to work.
That's our theme song. We don't want to work. We want to travel. We want to get away places. Welcome back to Travel World, Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus in Yoav's studio. And we got Lloyd Robertson, CTV National News Anchor, on the phone.
Talking about Australia in preparation for the Summer Olympics. Lloyd is back from a springtime visit to Australia. And welcome back to Travel World.
Thank you very much. We were talking just before the break about the white Australia policy that was in effect there up until the late 50s. It was actually rescinded in 1958-59, and then the gates were opened, and people from all colors, all races, of course, were welcome to Australia. And it now, especially in the larger cities like Sydney, it now really is a melting pot society. But I just wanted to explain to your listeners that there was a reason for that in the minds of Australians leading up to the 50s and 60s. They had a real fear of the Asians, especially during the war when the Japanese bombed parts of northern Australia in Darwin. So there was a bad history there, and They were very, very reluctant to open their doors to, especially to Asians, until late in the 50s and 60s. I mean, we look back at that period now and we think, how could this possibly happen? But remember, it was World War II, and the attitude was quite different then than the way it is now. And as I said, we did a story on a movie called Wog Boy, which has been very, very popular. It's a hilarious movie. I think it may be released in North America one day soon. And basically, it's about a Greek family's adaptation to life in Australia. The father coming in just after the war, and the boy and his brothers settling in Australia. And even though they were white, of course, they were able to get in for that reason, because Europeans, white Europeans, were welcome. They still suffered forms of discrimination. And one day, he wore his national Greek costume to school, and there is a shot in the movie of kids dancing around him on the playground, yelling "Wog boy, wog boy, wog boy," because that's what they called them, wogs. But they do a wonderful job with this movie. It's very, very funny, and they put the whole thing in a light framework, which is the way Australians sort of enjoy life. And it's very popular. And the Nick Giannopoulos, the star of the movie, is featured in our piece, and he's really funny. And it's a great show, and it's a way of looking back at a piece of history that many Australians would like to forget about, but look back on it with a degree of humor and say, well, you know, we're past that now, and at least if there may be residual bitterness in some people about it, but at least this generation can look back on it and say it was bad at that time, but we've changed things now, and at least we know that so far as our elders are concerned, they have also changed, and they're now able to look back and laugh at that period.
You can't always judge history by current standards. You have to look at it as under the circumstances of the era. And of course, when you bring these new people into the country, this has created a whole rise in new restaurants and multiculturalism in the big cities that up until the 50s and 60s, Australia, things in Sydney, for example, would shut down at 6 o'clock downtown, and now it's a very vibrant downtown core centered on the magnificent Sydney Harbour.
That's right. The Sydney Harbour is absolutely beautiful. And if you go there, be sure to walk up the Sydney Harbour Bridge. We did. We walked the Sydney Harbour Bridge and right to the top and looked out over the harbour. And, of course, you see the famous Sydney Opera House and the place where it all began there, because Australia was settled by convicts sent from Britain in 1788. And that is where the nation began. That's where the European settlement began. Now, if there is an issue at these games, and, of course, they're hoping that the games will be issue-free, it could evolve around demonstrations by Aboriginal people who are still upset that there has been no apology for the alleged abuse to them in the early part of the century, and going back several hundred years, as a matter of fact, by European settlers, because they did have a very, very rough time at the hands of the European settlers. Unlike the Maoris in New Zealand, just next door, the Australian Aboriginal people were split into several different groups, and there was no united front. So they were just torn apart by the Europeans when the Europeans arrived. Next door, the Maoris put up a fight with the British, and they got some treaties, and they're pretty well treated next door. But the Aboriginals in Australia had a very rough time. So there is the threat that because there has been no apology, and I was there in April and May, the issue was, would the Prime Minister apologize to the Aboriginals before the games and get this issue off the table? He refused to do that, saying that he didn't feel it was his job to apologize for past wrongs. So there is that threat kind of hovering over the games. And then next door in Fiji, the indigenous Fijians, as you may remember, there was an issue there a couple of months ago when they took over the parliament and held members of parliament, including the prime minister, captive for several days. The indigenous Fijians have been in contact with the Aboriginals in Australia, and they are talking about demonstrating at the games with the Aboriginal Australians. Now, of course, we hope this won't happen, but the possibility is there for this kind of demonstration at the games. But just to get back to the settlement there, if you're going there, there is a beautiful museum not far from Sydney Harbour Bridge, which recounts those early days. And it's interesting when you look down the lists of some of the early convicts there, because Only one or two were there for serious capital crimes. Most of them were people who'd stolen a loaf of bread, stolen a horse, that kind of thing. And they were the original settlers in Australia. And during the first centennial of the settlement in 1888 and again in 1988, there was a push to, kind of wash away the history and say, we don't want to recognize Australia as being settled by convicts, so let's get rid of this this lore. But those who were the ancestors of the people who settled said, no, we've got to celebrate this. This is our history. This is who we are. We can't deny that. So now, in fact, it's quite a source of pride to meet someone who comes from a descendant of one of the original settlers, one of the convicts who came over on the boat from England all those many years ago. And it's talked about quite openly, and as I say, it is a source of pride.
And something that is now recognized as being part of the heritage of the nation. And as we sort of wrap up in the next couple of minutes, Great Barrier Reef, ecotourism, that creates that other balance of the major downtown centers and head to the Great Barrier Reef, the last really intact coral reef in the world.
Yes, that's right. Well, of course, that was formed by coral polyps many years ago. The only living thing, in fact, that you can see from outer space. When the spacecraft were flying around the world, you would get shots of the Great Barrier Reef every once in a while. It, of course, is a beautiful, beautiful sight. And it's up in Cairns on the northeast side of Australia, where, by the way, the weather is always temperate. It was very warm there when we were there in May. And we got out on one of the tour boats and got to the reef, went down and looked at the flora. And it is quite beautiful. And there are, 1,400 different kinds of fish there. There must be 2,000 different kinds of plant life, and they are very, very careful of this area because they don't want the reef to die. They don't want the history there that has burdened other parts of the world where reefs have died because of pollution, because of oil spills, because of too many people going to visit. So they're very careful with you when you're there, and they urge you constantly to protect this wonderful resource. And if you're a diver, by all means, get there, go for a dive, because it is really something to see. It's worth the time, it's worth the money to go out on one of the tour boats and get close to the reef. It's wonderful.
And it's always that chance when too many people get to a destination that it will become so overpopulated that people will try to bring home samples or touch things. They have to be careful about that sort of thing.
Well, that's right, and they're very strict with visitors, because I imagine, over the years people have tried to pick stuff off the reef, but you're not supposed to take anything off the reef, or are you supposed to put anything on the reef? And there are signs on the boats when you're going out. Be careful. Don't take anything off. Don't put anything on. And they've told me that on a couple of occasions they've had to, the security people on the boats have had to get a hold of people and take things from them and put them back on the reef again, because some indeed have tried to take stuff away. We're much more environmentally aware than we've ever been in my lifetime, certainly. And I think people now realize that this is one of the great natural treasures in the world. It's something we protect. It's something we honor.
Well, something that the people have to go and see at least once in a lifetime, a trip to Australia. It's a magnificent destination,
right.
And sounded like you had a great time there, Lloyd. And
a wonderful time. I want to mention, too, one more thing, if you're there, Melbourne isn't that far down the road from Sydney. You can fly there in about an hour. And Melbourne is quite different from Sydney. Sydney is a big, bustling, modern city. Towers, people running around on cell phones. It's a very busy place. But Melbourne is different. Melbourne has a Victorian kind of quality to it, more European, trams in the middle of the road, that kind of thing, a little slower pace, sophisticated, more sedate, a really interesting city, too. So I'd advise people to go to see Melbourne while you're there if you can.
Sounds great. Lloyd Robertson, CTV News Toronto, thanks for joining us this Saturday morning on Travel World.
Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
It's a pleasure for me to talk to you, and all the best to all of your many listeners.
Thanks.
Thanks again.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll go right to commercial.
Do you have trouble remembering things lately?
Normally, there are a major amount of fat cells in your head, causing difficulty in oxygen reaching your brain. As we age, this condition worsens, causing memory loss, dementia, and worse. Memory loss is not random, accidental, or inevitable. It is reversible if treated properly. The all-natural, safe, ultra-memory is a result of research conducted at Harvard and leading universities. Studies show that the herb ginkgo can dramatically slow the effects of aging on memory and even improve memory function in healthy young people as well. Ultra-memory contains ginkgo in easy-to-take capsule form. Ultra-memory will help you live a full, functioning life. Find out why leading researchers call ultra-memory brain tonic. To try ultra-memory risk-free.
Cynthia, she's a maniac. Welcome back to Travel World. Willem Backus and Stephen Pickford, and you have behind the console. We have Lloyd Robertson. Of course, we had to eliminate our lead out because, boy, did he have tons of information.
Oh, he had so much information. That's why.
He must have, I don't know. This guy probably had books and books of information.
He really studied up before he went on his trip to Australia, and I guess that's what makes him Canada's most trusted news anchor, like 10, 12 years in a row, TV Guide magazine.
You know, I wanted to ask him about a kangaroo petting zoo or something like that.
it's much more than a kangaroo. It's here in Canada, first of all,
yes.
Right? It's a kangaroo petting zoo. You put the kangaroos in a zoo, right? People come, they pay to put their little child in the kangaroo pouch and let the kangaroo take it out for a ride. So this way you get a ride and a petting zoo for the same price.
Double value, the kangaroo daycare.
I think I'd be more comfortable stripping my kid naked, leaving it in a room all alone with a deranged cat.
Like somebody with a kid. Welcome this morning to Travel World, Cynthia Folder. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, you're hitting home there. I heard that one.
How are you, Cynthia?
How are you?
Oh, we're doing.
Wait, I wish you would have been with me on this trip to Steamboat Springs, Colorado. You guys would have loved it.
Really?
Yes, I fell in love with Colorado. It's a whole different world out there.
The whole Western influence combined with the mountains.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people think there's not a lot to do in the summertime. Everyone knows it's a great area for skiing, and in Steamboat Springs for skiing, they have like 20 lifts, 6 different peaks, 141 trails. So everybody kind of expects that, but it's also, I found out, a great place to visit in the summer. There is so much to do out there, and it's just very laid back, very relaxing. You wake up in the morning on the side of the mountain, look outside, and at 8 a.m., Willem, you see people running and mountain biking up the side of the mountain.
Oh, God.
The active people.
It makes you just want to get outside and be as healthy as you can be, although I tried the mountain biking, and I couldn't even go 5 feet up that steep terrain. I don't know how they do it.
Well, it's much easier to go down the mountain than up.
Yes, and so Stephen knows. Yes, someone would push him on a bike or something. No, because we have this friend of ours. We call him St. John the Cyclist, but he's a friend of mine who has trained to be an athletic bike racer. And you wouldn't even know it to see him, but this guy's got legs so powerful that he actually tears the pedals off of bicycles when he
it's incredible. What the one thing, they do have a gondola there which goes up the side of the mountain, and you can actually fit your bike in the gondola so that you can take it up on the gondola and then just ride it down. In fact, we went up as a family vacation. It was just wonderful. They have all kinds of hiking trails, over 50 miles of them. But we found one that was just a mile long, which was perfect with a 7-year-old son.
And then my husband
hiked down the mountain, which was about 5 miles. Well, we took the gondola back down. So that's a way to do it as well. You don't have to be really, really fit and in shape. But, boy, it sure makes you want to be when you're out there.
How is Jake doing? Is he still talking about Hudson Foga?
Jake is still talking about Hudson Foga. Yes, he is.
And, of course, you can hear the voice of Hudson Foga on the Liberty Works website, libertyworksradio.com/travelworld. Click on Travel World, and you can hear the promo. You hear the wonderful voice of Hudson Foga open to the world. Now, going at this time of year, as you mentioned, it's off-season. There have to be some good rates. How crowded is it? How many people go in the off-season to a destination like Steamboat Springs?
You know, Stephen, it was not crowded at all. It was wonderful. I mean, it is a little resort town, very quaint shops, country stores, boutiques, and great restaurants like you would find in any resort. But in the summer, as I said, very laid back, very relaxed. You can walk into any restaurant and get seated.
Wow.
Not crowded at all. It was wonderful. I would highly recommend it. And there's so much to do there. One of our highlights, we went tubing down the Yampa River, which runs right through town. And it was about a 2.5 hour tubing experience. And you just get on this big inner tube by yourself and float down the river, very relaxing, until you hit these little waterfalls. And it kind of picks you up and gives you a little thrilling ride there. But you can take your children, and that was just wonderful. We loved that. And, of course, I got stuck on the rocks at one point, though, and couldn't get out of them.
Oh,
and
no.
My son was on my husband's lap, and they went flying by me over this waterfall.
See you later!
Yeah, and I had to have these two young boys come and rescue me. But it's really not dangerous at all. It's you can kind of get off your tube and touch the bottom very easily.
Yeah.
But that was fun. And my favorite thing there, I have to mention, the hot springs. You guys would love them.
Yes.
All natural. They have one called Strawberry Park Hot Springs up in the mountains. You drive up there, and the water is coming out of the side of the mountain, 140 degrees. And then it flows. You don't get into that.
No.
You do not touch that. It flows into four different pools, and the pool at the farthest end is the coolest, but it's still quite hot, and it's just very therapeutic, and I could have soaked in there all night.
Mm.
In a very all-natural setting, wildflowers all around, rocks. We were there as the sun was setting, and it was just beautiful, one of the definite highlights of the trip.
Do you make me want to go there, for crying out loud?
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, Willem, about the food as well. In one place, I was certainly thinking of you.
Uh-huh.
Not because I know you love food so much, but this restaurant was called the Double Z, and its specialty was Rocky Mountain oysters. Do you know what those are?
What's a Rocky Mountain oyster?
You don't know?
No, I don't.
Fried bull testicles.
I just read an article on a festival that's going down south on that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have the nerve to taste one, I must tell you, but they also served wild game and elk and, you know, all kinds of different native Colorado cuisine out there, which makes it quite interesting, too. So,
I
bet you would have tried. Remember we ate rattlesnake?
We had rattlesnake at the restaurant in Scottsdale, and I've tried alligator and ostrich and eel. I think the eel is the worst thing I ever had. But, of course, families, it's condominiums are the big form of accommodations out there.
Oh, and you know what? I checked out the new Steamboat Grand, a huge upscale resort that should be opening any day now. Luxurious condos, I mean, just beautiful rooms, unique furnishings with the Mountain Lodge feel to them, Western paraphernalia everywhere. Everything is created out of stone with indoor streams, two-story high fireplaces, and that is going to be a great convention center as well. And it's the Steamboat Grand, and it should be opening any day now. They were working on it like crazy, and they also have daycare there for families, a full health club, huge spas, their whirlpools, hot tubs, seat 45 people.
Oh,
you can imagine.
I have to tell a friend of ours, Dan McAleer, about that one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a wonderful place.
Sounds like it's opening up for the fall and winter season. It sounds like a wonderful place to check out the combination of the Western heritage and the mountain scenery and the fresh air, Colorado Rockies, Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Time always flies by so fast, too quickly when we're with
10 minutes, it just whizzes by.
Oh, I know, and I could talk for an hour about this place. I loved it so much.
The whole hour has gone.
I recommend it.
The whole hour has gone by so quickly today because everyone had so much information to pass along to our listeners. And
good information, too.
Good information, useful information. Cynthia Fodor from KCCI-TV Des Moines, Iowa, our Midwest Bureau Chief. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes this morning.
Thank you, Stephen. Bye, Willem.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Lloyd Robertson from CTV News Toronto for talking about Australia. And, of course, hopefully next week we'll be testing out Kelsa's Salsa, Kelsa Kinsley, in studio next week, hopefully, if she ever gets here. But Jerry Wagschull on Mexico and Ottawa, and we'll have Melanie Refis on next week, too, about spas in the Laurentian Mountains. So spas in the Rockies, spas in the Laurentians. Hey, it's relaxation time. Every week, same time, same station, Travel World Radio Show. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Yoav Saralbo.
If you could hear that.
He had a shout from the corner.
Take it away, Yoav. Travel World is produced in Montreal by the NASCAR Marketing Company.